I made my Audible debut.
Oh, can you believe it?
That's pretty exciting.
Okay, so this is 49.
All right.
You could say it, No New Mutants.
Episode 749. I was just going to say 49. No New Mutants and Other News. We're off to a good start tonight.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono. We're back.
We're back with news, but not an abundance of news.
Right.
We had a ton of news in the last episode.
It's feast or famine.
Yeah. But last week we did just a huge news episode and then tons of quality Patreon material. So,
man, I feel so good about the things we're putting on Patreon.
Are you saying that to sell it, or are you saying that because you mean it?
Both. Okay. I wouldn't say that if I didn't mean it. But, you know, if I was a fan of this podcast and I wasn't on Patreon, I'd feel like, what am I doing? I'm an idiot.
I wouldn't go that far, I do think
a fool who's wasting my life.
Listeners, go to patreon.com/thesciFiChristian, where we have just an abundance of quality material. We have Sci-Fi Christian Extra, which is just like this podcast, only
better.
Additional material. We've got our sports episodes. We've got the Uncensored feed. We've got some new stuff coming out. So go check us out, patreon.com/thesciFiChristian. Ben, let's start with the New Mutants movie that was, still scheduled to come out on April 3rd, 2020. This is the last of the Fox-led X-Men franchise movies, but now Disney owns it.
Right.
And they're trying to separate it from the Fox version of X-Men, because that's been a mess, when it comes to Dark Phoenix and Apocalypse.
I didn't see the Dark Phoenix.
Yeah. I mean, I gave it a 3, but I can recognize it's not as good as where it started.
Yeah, but you don't really have any standard.
When it comes to superheroes or just in general?
I mean, we'll get to just in general. There's our next episode. You had me read something that maybe wasn't quite...
That's great.
As great as it could.
So here's what we're hearing. Now, this is just a rumor. I have to be clear. We don't know if this is for sure real news, but apparently Disney does still want to release New Mutants, but they want to totally separate it from anything related to the X-Men, which would mean they're going to have to change the names of the characters. They're going to have to take out all references of the word mutant, and they just want to put this out as a teen horror movie.
Yeah. I mean, what's Disney even doing?
So you were saying probably the first place to start with this whole project would be the title.
Right.
What are they going to do with the title, The New Mutants?
Well, there's a lot of things you could do with it. You could call it The New Changers. You could call it The New Genetic Anomalies. You could call it Not the X-Men.
Yeah, that's what they should go with.
That's probably what they should go
with. No mutants here.
You're right.
I guess also the main villain for this movie was supposed to be Mr. Sinister. Classic X-Men villain who you probably remember from X-Men the Animated Series.
I do not.
What? I thought you loved the X-Men the Animated Series.
I mean, I don't think I ever said I loved it.
Oh, well, he was one of the main villains there. Right. He's out. They're taking out that scene.
What?
Yeah.
I can't lose Mr. Sinister.
So
from the TV show?
No.
He's one of the great villains.
Exactly. He's out of the movie. So, again, take it with a grain of salt, but it sounds like we're still getting this movie. It's just going to be in some crazy new version.
Okay.
All right. You said you only have a few pieces. I also only have a few pieces. I think this might be a 10-minute news episode. But next, everyone, Ben was walking into my house today, and I said, well, today's episode should be pretty easy because it's top 25 things we wanted to experience by episode 750, and you made the good point that, yeah, tonight will be easy, but...
But it's hard to get all these things done.
Yeah, even though we give ourselves a year or more, as the case may be.
Right. Those last couple of weeks when we dig on our lists and try to remember what we promised.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was still just trying to finish something today.
Right.
So
I have a few. For the first time ever, I have incompletes on my list, which I'm ashamed of.
Hey, I'm not judging you.
Well, I'm judging me because it's like you've always had, well, I just keep some substitutes.
Yeah, I have some substitutes.
And I don't know if I've ever talked to you about that, but I've always thought that was... just kind of weak.
Wow. Sorry.
And now here I am in the same boat.
So tonight, you're listening to the news episode. Next episode will be our 25 things from last year, and then 751 will be the 25 things we're going to experience over the next year.
Right.
All right. So, Ben, take away some news.
Well, you said I suggested this for top news, and you said you'd never even heard of this person, Richard Linklater.
Yes.
So I'm going to list some movies, and you tell me if you've heard of them or seen them.
Okay.
Dazed and Confused.
I have.
Which one?
I've heard of Dazed and Confused.
Okay. I have the Before trilogy, Before Sunrise, Sunset. Before Sunset.
Heard of it. Ethan Hawke, right?
Right, right.
But I haven't seen it.
Boyhood.
Oh, yeah. That's on Netflix right now. I'm thinking about checking it out.
So Boyhood, you know, took like 10 years to film.
I just like the idea of what they did for that movie.
Well, hold on to your butts, everyone, because he's at it again.
Okay, what's this news?
He's making a 20-year movie.
So there's
a Stephen Sondheim musical that I've never heard of, but it's called Merrily We Roll Along, and it takes place over a period of 20 years with the same characters. So you might say, well, the magic of makeup, we can, you know, we made a... Like in that one movie, The Beautiful Mind, they made Russell Crowe look like an old guy in no time.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, not going to do it, says Richard Linklater. He is going to film this movie over the next 20 years.
What do you think about this idea?
I mean, it's nuts, but I guess that's pretty cool. I mean, I think he did other things during Boyhood. It's not like he was just only doing Boyhood, mm-hmm. but 20 years.
Man. It's a long wait. Did you know, I mean...
Will you see this with me if we're still friends in 20 years?
I imagine we'll still be friends. I don't know if we'll still be doing the podcast.
I mean, there's a decent chance we'll have a vicious falling out between now and then.
What do you think will be the cause of it, if you had to guess?
Just I insult you one too many times. You just had it and you throw me out of your house.
Yeah, I could see that. With Boyhood, did people, well, I'm sure insiders knew, but did the mass audience know that he was filming a 10-year movie?
I don't know.
Like when Boyhood came out, I didn't feel like there was a lot of anticipation where it was like, finally, this movie's out.
But in fairness, we're reading this now. I don't think we're going to get regular updates on Merrily We Roll. Okay. It's not like 20 years from now when the trailer hits for this movie. We're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But it's not like we're going to be sitting there waiting for this for 20 years.
Well, he should probably be hyping it up. Like every year, just a little update. Like things are so going on.
Wow. We filmed the one scene.
I know this is, you know, you would always hope that doesn't happen, but let's say you cast somebody and unexpected accident or death by unexpected disease. What happens then?
Well, or even just less morbid. Like, what if Ethan Hawke, you know, he works with Richard Linklater a lot, so he might be, but he wakes up one day, he's like, you know what I hate? Acting.
Yeah.
And then he's just done. Yeah. I mean, that would be devastating. I mean,
just think if you get to year 17.
What did you enjoy 20 years ago that you still enjoy now?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's things.
Keep it PG.
Yeah. I'm sure there's things. I mean, certain kinds of entertainment when it comes to like types of movies, superhero movies. And I mean, because 20 years.
What was your job 20 years ago?
Oh, good question. 20 years ago, I was... a dishwasher at a nursing home.
Right. I was doing a paper route once a week. Now, I sure am not doing that now.
Right.
So can't support a family on a paper route.
But on the other hand, we do know of actors that have been acting for 20 years or more.
I know. I'm just saying that it's like you don't know. I mean, think of what you're doing now. Do you think you'll still be doing the same thing in 20 years? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. It's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Anything could happen. What do you think you'll be doing? What you're doing 20 years from now?
I don't know. I mean, I work for a bank. Maybe banks won't even exist in 20 years.
Just this morning, I was talking with my wife and I was asking her, let's say you could choose your exact career path and whatever you wanted to have happen would happen. And we kind of had that conversation of what her career would look like. So it's interesting that we bring this up here because we kind of talked through.
Was that within reason?
Yes.
Because, I mean,
yeah.
Whatever I want to have happen happens. Oh, hello, Mr. Gates. I'll be happy to be your adopted son and heir.
You could be the heir without being his adopted son.
You said whatever I wanted to have.
All right. That's interesting. Have you seen Boyhood?
No, but it's a Criterion film, so I will get to it here.
Great.
In a year or so.
That was interesting news. Thank you for sharing that.
I told you it was.
All right. I've got some quick shots for you.
Okay.
So when they first announced the Joker movie,
right?
People liked the idea of having this standalone film, totally outside of the regular continuity. They can do whatever they want and just have this one piece of work, and it's great, hopefully. Well, now the director is saying that
a sequel... Getting good reviews.
He's saying a sequel is possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I was expecting you to be against that news. I guess you're okay with it as long as it's good,
well,
right?
We'll see, right?
Oh, you know, did you see that I happened to watch The King of Comedy this past weekend?
I did.
And did you see that in my review I said, I heard that, this movie from 1982 or 83 starring Robert De Niro, that was an influence on Joker?
Right.
Could you see that from what you've seen in the early trailers? Or
I haven't seen King of Comedy, but the three Scorsese movies they're citing are Mean Streets, King of Comedy, and Taxi Driver.
Okay.
I've seen Taxi Driver. I haven't seen the other two, but I mean, certainly the aesthetic of it is kind of like those 70s Scorsese movies.
Yeah. Well, it actually made me, seeing King of Comedy made me pretty excited to see Joker, because I've seen from the trailer.
Have you seen Taxi Driver?
No, I haven't seen
that. Oh, my goodness.
Would you recommend that?
Well, I don't think you'd like it, but it's a movie to see.
You know, King of Comedy, only rated PG.
Well, they didn't have a PG-13 back then.
Oh, okay.
Temple of Doom hadn't come along yet, reached into our hearts.
All right, what else you got?
So Netflix is going to be doing a show based on Hillary Clinton's run for president.
Will it be, are you saying, is it a scripted show or is it a documentary?
It's a scripted show.
Okay.
That's going to have a wild final episode.
Kind of a letdown if you've been following it all the way along.
You got to wonder what tone they're going to be going for, because half the audience is going to be thrilled and half the audience is going to be like, you just showed them 9/11 again.
Not just that, but for such a recent event in history,
right?
It's not going to have a lot of suspense really there as we get close to the last episode.
You know how I would end it on the final episode?
She wins.
No. I'd be like, she's got the big party going on, and like everybody's cheering and enthusiastic, and then you hear, we're going to go live to the first results coming in, and you just cut to black.
Oh, that is a good way to end it.
That's Sopranos style.
Okay, I like that.
Right.
Speaking of Sopranos, HBO's Watchmen TV show has been announced, or the start date has been announced, as Sunday, October 20th.
Well,
will
that's
you be
exciting.
Tuning in?
I will be. Right. I will be.
Go ahead.
Let's see. They released a synopsis for The Last Skywalker, or whatever this one's called.
Yeah.
And
wait a second. Before you go any further, I've been purposely avoiding.
There's no spoil. It's a vague.
Okay. But I've been purposely. Let's just not talk about it.
I'm going to talk about it because I have a point to make.
All right, fine. But I haven't seen the new trailer.
I don't care.
I haven't.
Why? It's the dumbest thing in the world, these movies. So you can be spoiled a little bit. There's no spoilers in here, so you don't need to worry about it. Lucasfilm and director J.J. Abrams joined forces once again to take viewers on an epic journey to a galaxy far, far away with Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker, the riveting conclusion of the seminal Skywalker saga. Let's stop right there for a second. Mm-hmm. I've made this point before. This is not the conclusion to the saga. Somebody, if Disney sells to, you know, Super Disney in 50 years and they make three more Star Wars movies, that doesn't mean we've all been waiting with bated breath for 50 years for the conclusion. I'm sorry. And just because George Lucas was originally going to make 9 or whatever, that doesn't mean that this is his conclusion. He clearly ended it with Return of the Jedi, so this is absurd. The riveting conclusion, blah, 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 where new legends will be born, and the final battle for freedom is yet to come. Okay, so let's get this out here. The movie isn't even out yet, and they're already teasing the next
volume. They're saying it's the end, and it's also the beginning.
No.
That's what they're saying.
They didn't say any,
Yeah, it's the beginning. It's the new legends
are going to... The final battle for freedom is yet to come. In other words, you thought this thing was going to be over? We're going to be blowing up Death Stars for hundreds of years. Your grandchildren will die before we're done blowing up Death Stars.
Yeah, it's not over.
And so, with that, why do you care so much about spoilers? You know what it's going to be. You know that it's going to be an attempt to bring you to a false conclusion and then tease you out for another 50 movies.
Are you at all interested in the idea that they'll have a few years off before coming back to the movies? Or is this, I think you'd said this once before, just to confirm, you're done with the Star Wars movies after this one. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty angry about the whole thing. So, I mean, you never know where hate is going to take you. And I'll just leave it at that.
What does that even mean? Maybe I think you shouldn't leave it at that.
Well, it's like, you know, sometimes when you hate something, you don't want to ever see anything with it again.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes when you hate someone, you want to stand over the body and watch it burn.
So You're saying.
I mean that metaphorically.
Right. Just there's no one you literally. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, I have some Star Wars news. We found out that the Obi-Wan Kenobi TV series is going to be taking place 8 years.
I am going to ban Disney Plus news on the show.
You did Star Wars news, so I'm doing follow-up Star Wars
news. This is Disney Plus news.
So the TV show takes place 8 years after Revenge of the Sith.
All right.
And yeah, I think that sounds about right. Although I don't think timeline-wise that Ewan McGregor is ever going to look like Alec McGinnis.
I hope it's a experimental art house series where it's just Obi-Wan hanging out in his hut and goes out, does a little moisture gardening or whatever they do on Tatooine. And, you know, it's just no music, just single shot cameras. Just
kind of back to the roots of the original.
Right.
Yeah. They want to get some Midsummer news?
Like people are furious. And then after three seasons, you know, watching this thing is changing my life. Calmer, happier. Contemplative.
So I know you're going to say that you're for this news, even though last week we had similar news that you're against. I already know what your defense is going to be, but let me just go ahead and give it.
Okay.
So Midsummer, the director's cut, is coming to theaters.
Yep.
Last week, you got mad that there is an extended cut of Spider-Man Far From Home, as well as, well, we'll leave it at that, because the Endgame wasn't an extended cut. I already know what your defense is going to be, but go ahead.
No, you tell me what my defense is going to be.
An extended cut featuring deleted scenes is different than a director's cut.
Well, there's that. That's one significant thing. Number two is that this is something that it's coming from this artistic place. If Ari Aster has this alternate cut of the film that he wants to screen, rather than we're throwing in 4 minutes to gouge you for more money. Whereas if the Far From Home thing...
There probably is a little bit of let's make some more money while everybody's
into
this.
No, do you think this is going to make them more money?
I do. If the people go and see it, they will automatically make more money.
Not compared to probably what they've already had to invest to get it into the theater. This is probably a wash. If anything, it's more of a publicity, promoting the brand, promoting this film for awards type of thing than it is actually making money. And I guarantee you that they're not... that the director's cut is not going to be raking in tons and tons of money. I think it's going to have a very short run from what I've seen. I'm not even sure I'll be able to see it, and I really want to. Mm-hmm. But no, it's a limited run of a movie that not a lot of people saw in the first place. So I don't think that the motive is even remotely the same. I think one motive is greed and one motive is art.
I don't think I disagree with you. But I could see them wanting to make a little bit money because it has been getting some positive buzz. And I actually know quite a few people have seen it.
Yeah, very positive feedback. But look at Box Office Mojo. It's not, you know, it's made like $8 million, which, I mean, I wouldn't say no to $8 million. But it's not like Spider-Man where they're, well, we made $500 million, but if we could just get in that extra $50 million, we're good. No.
I forgot to save last news. Okay, here's one thing I can say for last news.
I have a news.
Go ahead.
All right. So this is more of like a self-help thing.
Wait, how many? I only have news that is interesting, but not superhero related, not Star Wars, but yes to Disney Plus. So let me get that out of the way, and you can do your last news first. Muppets. They're bringing back the Muppets with a TV show called Muppets Now, going to Disney Plus. And Jeff Goldblum is going to be the host of a show called The World According to Jeff Goldblum. It's a National Geographic show, but Disney owns National Geographic. So it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, we are going to tamp down the Disney Plus news.
I mean, it just happens that all these different things are owned by Disney.
It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear this. We're not shilling for these people anymore.
I think people are interested. You just happen to be not.
My vote counts.
I'm out of news. But, I mean, for an example, earlier today I said I don't want to hear about the Rise of Skywalker, but you still forced me to do it.
Yeah, my vote counts.
So we'll also have to give and take.
Same principle.
We're going to have a give and take.
Same principle.
I have no news left, so save something for last news.
This is it. This is my last piece of news.
Get music ready. Hold on, everybody. Here we go.
Last news of the day. All right. Everything about this is depressing. Michigan, I'm just going to read the headline here. Michigan church builds massive Lego man to advertise movie series. Okay. Let's have a little
sermon series on movies.
Let's have a real talk with Papa Ben here for a second. Churches, stop trying to be cool because you suck at it. No more sermon series on movies. That's not your job. You're not an entertainment factory. Your job is to bring people into contact with the transcendent. That's the point of religion. Stop being dumb. You're not good at it. Nobody thinks it's fun. Nobody thinks it's cute. It's lame. Stop being stupid. Get back to what you're good at. Do the sacraments and preach the Bible and be done. And if people don't like it, if they need a little a Lego guy, if they need to see a Lego man to get through the door, you're doing it wrong. Okay? Just enough. I get so tired of these stupid gimmicks. It's like there was a church in the Twin Cities a few years ago that was giving away a car at Christmas or Easter or something. It's like, this is ridiculous. If that's what you have to do, you're doing it wrong. So stop.
All right.
What do you think of the sermon series?
I'm not really against it. I guess I probably would like something that's a little bit more theological myself, but I could see people trying to put a spin, kind of connecting faith to pop culture. That's what we do here on the podcast.
No, it's not what we do here on the podcast. This is the exact opposite of everything I've ever tried to make sure this show is not.
Tell me more.
Well, this whole idea of that you take a pop culture thing and then you try and, draw a lesson out of it. Like, you could just hear the sermon, just like the Legos get crushed and they have to be put back together by the builder. God helps us put... It's so dumb. Like, what we've tried to do here is we talk about pop culture, we talk about theology, but we haven't tried to, chain these two together in an artificial way. It's that, no, when we talk about theology, we aren't trying to find some stupid pop culture tie-in so that people will feel more welcome and relevant. Here's my advice for churches. Stop trying to be relevant. You're not relevant. Like, the transcendent isn't relevant. The whole basis for why you exist is not relevant. So get over it. And get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. And like this, and then when we talk about pop culture, we're not talking about pop culture. Where's the lesson we can pull out? No, let's really examine a story. And if it goes in a theological direction, fine. If it doesn't, that's fine too. But just really engaging with a story on a deep and thoughtful level. And it's this surface level crap that I just cannot stand and is so against everything that this show has ever tried to be. And I think when I see churches doing that, to me, it tells me you are shallow and you're focused on the wrong thing. So if you are a pastor, this is your heart to heart from Papa Ben. Don't do that ever.
Yeah. So I used to work at a Christian bookstore and I remember seeing books that were like, the gospel according to the Matrix, the gospel according to Harry Potter. And I do know that you and I here, kind of from the start, well, maybe a little bit early on, we thought maybe we'll go that route, but pretty early on, we decided we don't need to do that exact thing. So we may talk about the Matrix, but we're not necessarily going to try to pull out exact comparisons.
Because, take a movie like The Matrix, it clearly has philosophical and spiritual themes going on. It's like, there's no need to try and say, well, what Bible lesson can we learn from The Matrix? That's asking the wrong question. It's engage with a movie like that. Engage with its ideas with intellectual honesty. The value you're bringing to something like that isn't that you can twist it into being a Christian movie, because it's not. It's that you come at it from a worldview and you engage with its ideas with intellectual honesty. You're willing to honestly hear what it has to say, and you clash against that with your own beliefs and your own thoughts and everything, and that's where the valuable conversation comes from. And I just hate this crap of let's try and shove these two things together of pop culture and sermon series. It's like, if that's what you have to do to get people in the seats, I think you honestly have to take a hard look in the mirror, because you're doing something wrong.
All right. I said I had the music ready, but that is a good word there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just claw through the harshness, and I think you get something good out of that.
Well, everybody, that should be our new motto. Theology at warp speed, claw through the harshness and find something good.
Everybody, that's up here.
Listen, life is pain and misery and suffering, and the way you get better is by absorbing those things and transforming, not by looking at a stupid Lego guy.
I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DeVoe.
We're the Suffer Christians, signing off. Goodbye.